The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Maureen Olson of the Neola Gazette and Brian Fancher of KLMJ Radio. Maureen, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Hello, Senator.
Hello. Thanks for being on here, both of you.
Transparency is a continuing issue with you, and you recently sponsored the Sunshine in the Courtroom Act. Could you care to comment on that?
Yeah, 46 states, I think, allow cameras in their courtrooms. The federal government's had a few experiments, but no general law saying that cameras can be allowed in the courtroom. My main reason for doing it is that I think that it would take a lot of the obscurity away from the judicial branch, bring greater understanding of how judges operate and how our court system operates, much like the Congress did with C-SPAN coming in probably 30 years ago now. So that's our reason. The Sixth Amendment to the Constitution says people are entitled under the Constitution to a public trial. Well, that public trial can be before 100 people or 200 people, depending on how many can get in the courtroom. This would allow anybody that wants to tune in to television to get into the courtroom. There might be some cases that it might not be allowed, and in those particular cases, a judge can make that decision as long as he puts in writing his reasoning for doing it, and that could be appealed to a higher court if somebody disagreed with keeping the cameras out of the courtrooms. Let's go to Brian.
Thanks, Senator, for having us on today. I wanted to get your thoughts in general about the process to get to this point today for the Supreme Court situation and your thoughts about today.
Yeah. Well, basically what it does, it puts in regard to judges into the same situation that existed in the Congress for 228 years from, well, maybe I better say 212 years, from 1789 to 2002, because it was at that point where Senator Schumer decided that there could be filibusters of judges if the ideology of the judge wasn't something that they liked. And that was a decision that was made at their retreat back in 2001. Then, in turn, they did filibuster a lot of George Bush's nominees, which changed the pattern from 1789 to 2001. That pattern was continued when we had a Democrat president and we had Republican in the Congress that used the filibuster. Then in November 2013, Reid, the Democrat leader at that time, decided that we should not have filibusters of judges or cabinet people. Only possibility of filibustering Supreme Court justices. So today, the Republican majority did like the Democrat majority did in November 2013. But where we end up is exactly where we were between 1789 and 2001. There won't be a supermajority required to get people on the bench. And just think of, let me just give you one controversial nomination that I've faced since we've been here. Clarence Thomas was put on the Supreme Court by 52 to 48. Any one senator could have brought that person down if they decided to filibuster and require a 60-vote majority, assuming that at least 41 senators agreed with that. He ended up being approved, as I said, 52 to 48, but any one senator could have brought him down. That's how, up until 2001, the process of of confirming judges was so respected. And then the slippery slope of Senator Schumer, then the further slippery slope of Reed has led then to the final decision of the slippery slope of McConnell today. But what difference does it make? We're back where we were from 1789 to 2001, back to Maureen.
Another of your longtime concerns has been the protection of whistleblowers, and you've also sponsored several recent acts relating to the protection of whistleblowers. Do you feel you're making progress on this issue?
I think we're making progress on taking care of some things that are wrong with laws that maybe the courts rule a certain way or it's carried out by administrations a certain way to protect whistleblowers. But you can't pass a law. So, yes, the answer to your question is we're making progress as far as laws are concerned. But law isn't necessarily the major problem. The major problem is, quote unquote, the culture of a bureaucracy. And in Washington, D.C., this is the culture of every bureaucracy. They don't like whistleblowers. And even though there's laws to protect whistleblowers, whistleblowers generally ruin themselves professionally by blowing the whistle. They're about as welcome at a bureaucracy as a skunk is at a picnic. And when you're treated that way, no law can really help you. So, you know, what I do is just do everything you can to protect whistleblowers. You need to encourage whistleblowing because whistleblowers are patriotic people. They just want the law followed. They just want the money spent the way it was intended to be spent. And I'll give you one example. Whistleblowers under the False Claims Act has brought that I got that passed in 1986, brought $53 billion back into the federal treasury. So whistleblowing pays off for the taxpayers of this country. And whistleblowing, laws protecting whistleblowing isn't anything brand new because back in the Continental Congress, those forefathers of our country passed laws saying that it was the duty of people working for any government position, and most in those days, most of it was being in the military. If you knew about waste, it was your responsibility to report it. So that's where we are. I wish I could tell you that a law will take care of everything, but a law won't. But we've got whistleblowers that are protected. But you, then you got whistleblowers that are protected. They're still getting paid. But then down there in Missouri, I think it is, you saw on television last week, somebody's being paid $250,000 a year to practice medicine, but they won't give him any patients within the VA. So what do I do about that when I find out about it? Maybe we've been helping him other ways. But I try to alert the president to the fact that they ought to step in and make sure that this whistleblower is not treated. And more importantly, don't waste the $250,000 you're spending on his money. Let him earn it, and he wants to earn it.
Yeah, Senator, one other question for you. What are your thoughts on the latest, what's going on in Syria, and should the president take any action?
Well, this wouldn't be happening if Obama drew a line in the sand, and when that line was crossed, he didn't do anything. And if he'd blown up the airports right now before Russia got involved, he could have kept their planes from flying and not only stopped the airplanes that are disseminating the sarin gas, but the bump, the barrel bombs as well that are killing so many people. And so then they're really encouraged to do more of this breaking of international law. So right now, I would say the president says he's going to do something, and I hope he does, but I think they're going to wait and see what the United Nations Security Council decides today or tomorrow that might give some moral authority to do it, or when Tillerson goes to Moscow next week to talk to Putin, it ought to be pretty clear that that our country tells Putin, even though you're helping the Syrian dictator, we're going to destroy their airports, and you better not stop us. Thank you, Maureen and Brian, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to People of Iowa.